Okay, this morning we're going to begin a new series called Songs for Your Soul. And I wanted to ask you to consider what your favourite song is. Don't sing it, okay? We don't need that. But just one of your favourites. You might think, I can't quite nail it down. But a song that you really like. It can be a church song, but it might be a secular song. It might be something that means something to you. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you just to share that very quickly to the person sitting next to you. Okay? So you've got to think of something. Okay, there you go. I mean, I'm surprised how many of those songs I've never heard of before. You know, I was expecting some more classics. But there are different reasons we love songs. And I think when it comes to your favourite song, there's probably a combination of three elements. One is the lyrics. Often we can identify with the lyrics in a song. It speaks to us about a situation we were in the past. We like the melody or the tune or the beat or and memories. Often songs remind us powerfully of times in our lives. If you've been married, you hopefully remember the song you did your first dance to. That kind of happens. Now, we see this at different times of the year, that songs are memorable. This song. What's that song? I mean, when that comes on at a party, you don't sit down and think, oh, this is boring, do you? You're straight up and fingers in the air. This one hopefully will come out in the next few times. Some of you might not know this song. Summertime. Summertime. Oh, very good. This one, I don't know whether we've got anything going on this year, but this one's always a classic when the football's on. Three lines. Oh, yep. If you're an England fan, if you're not, you think, what is that terrible song? Especially when it was brought out in the Euros. Anyway, let's... And then all the Christmas songs. Every year, do you know, they do some research and the Christmas songs encourage you to spend money. Did you know that? They encourage you because the nostalgia and it leads you to spend more money. And they have a ratio of how many Christmas songs to how many secular songs in each of the weeks leading up to Christmas. Anyway, a bit of useless information there. But songs are incredibly powerful. And that's why right at the centre of your Bible, there is a book full of songs. The Psalms. And over the next few months, we're going to be looking at about a tenth of this mammoth book. Okay, there's 150 Psalms. So we could do this over 3 years. But I thought we won't do that over 3 years. But we're going to select a few of the Psalms over the kind of up till August. And because we only have the lyrics to the songs, it can be hard to imagine them being sung. So I've decided not to read Psalm 1 to you this morning, and we're going to listen to it. Okay, hopefully if all the technology works. Okay.
Not in the council. But the way of the wicked will perish.
That's one version. You can find other versions of Psalm 1. Some are a bit more melodic, but that follows the text of the ESV, so I wanted to sort of stay with that. Psalm 1 provides an introduction to the book of the Psalms, and it provides a choice of two ways. Now, I've called this morning Patterns for Prosperity. And I don't really like the word prosperity generally because it's associated with the prosperity gospel. You know, you want a Lamborghini, you name it and claim it. Or you put extra money in the offering and God will give you a Lamborghini. Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. But it is a word that the Bible uses, prosperity. And it's in this psalm. So I've called this morning Patterns for Prosperity. And I've got 4 points. The first is this. Choose to delight yourself in the Bible. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, blessed is probably most easily understood as happy. Happy. Do you like being happy? I like being happy. But happy, by its very root, is to do with circumstances, to do with what happens. So you can only be happy because of the circumstances you're in. Whereas blessed goes beyond the circumstances. So you can be blessed in God when all of life seems really difficult. Whereas you can't be happy in that. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, and this includes men and women. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the man. The psalmist lists 3 things that the person does not do. And there's a progression here. Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Does not stand in the way of sinners. Does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Walking is about activity, following the way of the wicked. Standing implies more than taking a path, but now standing firm in it. It's become a way of life. And sitting involves staying and settling. And the psalmist's use of wicked, sinners and scoffers all relate to one kind of person. And that is someone who's not following God. Not many people themselves consider themselves wicked. That label is used of those who do the most terrible things, murderers and abusers. But there's danger that we read our cultural assumptions into the text of the Bible. And the wicked, sinners and scoffers are those who don't follow God's ways. And this is shown by the contrast to verse 2, where it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Law is the word Torah, which is the word that often refers to the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But it can also refer to the whole of the Old Testament. And possibly the editor to the book of Psalms has placed this psalm right at the start. Now, Psalms, if you don't know, is split into 5 books. So there's 5 books of the Torah and there's 5 books of the Psalms. And maybe the psalmist is writing this to say these songs are authoritative along with the Torah. Now, we don't really like the word law, do we? Anyone find joy in the law apart from a lawyer? It's not something that I read. Oh, I want to find out the law of the land. Let me put some joy in my heart and let's read the laws of England. But the Pentateuch reveals God's heart for people and the way to live a blessed life. The psalmist is encouraging us to say no to the ways of the world and yes to finding delight in God's word, which involves living it out. It's not just about reading. And on some things we may say, hey, this is easy. Don't murder anyone. Yeah, I agree with that. That's fair enough. But what about other things? What about where God's word challenges our lifestyle? What about sex before marriage? What about lying, lust, fiddling your taxes? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And there is a great battle for our delight. The world so often says pleasure is found over here, and it twists the good things that God has provided and gives us context where we shouldn't be following them. But God says, delight yourself in the law. Delight yourself in my word. And verse 2 speaks of the habits, day and night. If you want to experience God's best for you, it will involve committing time to reading and understanding the word. Delighting. Do you have patterns? Do you have a rhythm of regularly reading the Bible? Do you start and end the day thinking of God or thinking of something else? Because that's what's happening here in the psalm, morning and evening. Do you start and end the day thinking about God and spending time with him, or do other things take up those spaces? And there's a choice here. Walk, stand, sit in the way of sinners, or delight in God's word. So let's see what the result of those choices are. Prosperity comes from obedience. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In the Middle East, rain doesn't come like it comes here. It's a dry place, and water is needed for healthy plants. Here we, in this passage, we have a picture of a tree that's placed beside either a stream of water or an irrigation stream that ensures it always has the water it needs. And again, there's three things that characterize this tree. It's fruitful, its leaf does not wither, and it's a life of prosperity. And in the coming weeks, as we're going to look at some of the psalms, we're going to find some psalms where the psalmist isn't feeling very fruitful. The leaves in their life feel withered. And it doesn't feel like there's much prosperity. So this psalm does not mean that those who delight in God's word will not suffer and will avoid all difficulties. But it does mean that although at times we may feel unfruitful, withered and unprosperous, this isn't the whole truth. God is at work and he is working prosperity in our lives. So the question should be, in every season, good, bad or indifferent, are we delighting ourselves in God's word? Because that's the key. That's the key. Are you delighting yourself in God's word? And it's very easy to let this slip. When life becomes hard, when times become hard, we stop reading our Bible. We get tired and we think, oh, I'll just watch some TV. I'll just sit down and I'll watch some TV. I'll just do this. I'll just do that. And we put this off. And then we say, oh, life is really hard. I just haven't got time for it. No, you have to have time for it. How are you delighting yourself in God's word? It's so key. God's promise is that if you're delighting yourself in his word, which means putting it into action, that you will be fruitful and prosperous in the things of God. Hello. There you go. So if life is hard and you're suffering, this is a promise for you. There's a promise here, isn't there? But also there's a warning in verse 4. The wicked are not so, but like chaff that the wind blows away. Before combine harvesters, you would gather in your crop and you would beat it. And then you would toss it in the air and the grain, which is heavy and weighty, would fall to the earth, and the husks and everything else would be blown away. That's chaff. It's blown away. And there are many warnings in the Bible about future judgment and not seeking the things of this world, which will just be blown away. You know, our greatest achievements, the things that we feel, oh, I'm really proud of that, it really won't matter in eternity. Now, I enjoy playing golf, and sometimes I think, you know what, how good or bad at golf I am really does not matter. Who cares? In one sense, who cares? Because it doesn't, when I get to heaven, people are not going to say, oh, well done. You were so good at golf on earth. Oh, you were so bad at golf on earth. I feel so, really. It just does not matter. There's things in our lives that are like chaff. And the wicked are like chaff that will just be driven away. And this judgment that we see in this psalm is both good and bad news. Psalm serves as a warning, but also an encouragement. And the psalmist's attention now turns to the wicked. And remember that that is those who are not following God. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Again, there are three things that the psalmist says about the wicked. Do you remember that warning not to stand in the way of sinners? And it says here that they will not stand in the judgment. They won't participate in the congregation of the righteous, but will perish. And this is bad news. If you're not following God, this is bad news. This is the bad news. That's where your life is heading. If you're not following God, your life, you are driving your car off a cliff. And this is the bad news that every one of us has to face before we can understand the good news. Before we can appreciate the grace and mercy found in God. Because it's only as you realize your sinfulness and your absolute need of God that you can respond to his grace and forgiveness. That's called conviction of sin. We need to understand my life is heading towards a cliff and I cannot save myself. That is the position that everybody has to come in before they can respond to the gift of grace and mercy in Jesus. It's all right. We had an alpha course in here a little while ago, and we were having a discussion, and we were talking about this offer from God, a free gift. And the person who we were talking to just said, I don't think I'm worthy. I said, the truth is you're not worthy. That's the truth. But it's only as you realize that you are unworthy that you become worthy. And this is where the good news is. And in a moment, I'm going to lead you to that good news. But before I do, there is actually good news for those who are the righteous in these passages, those who seek to follow God. Firstly, God knows the way of the righteous. And God knows your way. God knows your path. He knows your steps. He knows what you do. He knows those times you choose to do right when no one else is looking. Your ways are before him. Secondly, the fact that the way of the wicked will perish is good news. It's good news that enables us to forgive. Knowing that God is a God of justice enables us to forgive. And knowing that one day all wickedness will be eliminated provides us with great hope for the future. It does. We live in relative comfort in the UK, but there are areas of the world, and you just turn your news on, and you think, how on earth do people deal with that? Those who have family members murdered. How can you forgive in those situations? Will you forgive because you know I'm giving it all to God? It's in God's hands. God is the one who sees all. That's how you find forgiveness. That's how you find freedom from the past. But there is good news for the righteous and the unrighteous. And that is because Jesus is the righteous man who makes many righteous. In many of the modern translations, man has been translated one. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And it's often helpful to have inclusive language because it's clear that this psalm is not just about men. This is about men and women. This is about a way of life. Blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. It's true. But when we read, blessed is the man, our mind should be drawn forward to think of the man who never walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. There was one man who did this perfectly. He wasn't sidetracked or self-centered, but he delighted to do the will of his Father. Psalm 40, verse 7 to 8 says, "Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Initially, this is probably speaking of the King of Israel. But when we look at it and we see it in the light of Jesus, we can see it was such clarity that Jesus is the one who fulfilled this. This is true of the true King. It's interesting, though, that Jesus did sit with sinners, didn't he? The Pharisees asked, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But he didn't sit and conform to their ways. He wasn't drawn into their lifestyle or polluted by it. In fact, his purity transformed them. He was a fruitful tree. John the Baptist asked if he was the Messiah, and Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." He was being fruitful in his ministry. He was producing fruit of the kingdom. And as John sat in prison and heard this report back, he must have thought, the Messiah has come. Praise God. God knew his way. Romans 5, verse 18 to 19 says, "Therefore, as one trespass," this is talking about the sin of Adam, "led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." That's good news, isn't it? Yeah, I appreciate an amen. I appreciate an amen. "For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. The unrighteous can be made righteous in Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this, that in Genesis, there was a live man with a live tree eating the fruit. And it brought condemnation. And in Jesus' life, there's a dead man on a dead tree. And it's bringing life to all. Life to all who believe. Jesus is the one who enables us to become righteous by taking away our sin and rebellion, dealing with it all on the cross. In his death, he took the righteous wrath of God upon himself so that we could be forgiven and transformed. This is the good news. We are not worthy of his mercy, but Jesus has made us worthy by dying and taking away the wrath of God. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that his disciples would be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says this in Acts, "So, but you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They would be given power on high, and this power equipped them and enabled them to follow God's ways. And we too need the Holy Spirit to help us to delight in God's word. You know those days when you think, I haven't got the motivation to read the Bible. Say, Holy Spirit, would you help me Would you give me delight in this word? Would you speak to me through this word? Would you speak to me today through this word that it would bring a lightness and joy to my soul? This psalm, the first in the book, of the, they call it the Psalter, is a challenge and an encouragement. Next week we're going to look at Psalm 2, which actually both of them provide an introduction to what is going to come through this psalm. And they have very different perspectives. So next week whenever it is, the 28th, we'll be looking at that. This psalm is a challenge. If you are not following Jesus, do you realise the situation you find yourself in? If so, what are you going to do about it? Jesus offers you forgiveness and new life. Will you respond? We run Alpha courses here. If you are interested and you say, I want to know more about this, I want to discover more, come and see us. If you live in a different area, many, many churches run Alpha Course. If you say Alpha Course near me, you can find an Alpha Course near you. It will help you understand what Jesus has done, and you can ask your questions. There are fantastic courses, and you could probably ask 5 or 6 people in this room who've done it. But for those who are already following Jesus, are you making time to be filled with the Spirit and delight in God's word? The Bible talks about renewing our mind. We need to renew our mind and to understand the truth of what's in here. This is what's true. Whatever you're feeling, the truth is in here. It isn't in between your head. Okay? My feelings, I feel great one time, I feel bad the other, and nothing's happened. Okay? Your feelings can be deceiving, but this is what's true. This is what's true. And we need to make time to delight in God's word. And for those who are suffering and finding life tough, there are promises here from God that you will be like a tree planted by streams of water. You will bear fruit and prosper. Keep holding on to his word. I'm going to invite the band back, and we're just going to take a moment to pause. So you might want to close your eyes. We were encouraged earlier to be still and know that he is God. We're encouraged that he wants to speak to us. So let's take a moment. Maybe you might want to open your hands and just come before him. Say, speak, Lord, for your servants listening. Lord, I thank you that this psalm teaches us the way of prosperity and the way to delight in you, the way to live a fruitful life. And Lord, there are many things that battle for our time and our focus and our delight. And Lord, would you help us to be a people who delight in your word? Make time to read and to believe and to live out the truth that is in your word. Lord, would you fill us with delight in the amazing truth of what you've done for us and your love for us. Lord, thank you. The Bible is a love letter. It speaks of your love towards us and towards humanity and towards the nations of the world. Lord, thank you for the truth that's in your word. And Lord, would you make us people of your word? We pray. Lord, for those who are struggling and suffering and don't feel fruitful, Lord, would you encourage them as they seek to delight in your word? Would you encourage them with the promises that are in your word? Lord, for those maybe in this room who aren't yet following you, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them? Would you bring conviction of sin and lead them in the path to life and life in all its fullness? Joy, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. going to invite you to sing. We're going to stand and sing. We're going to sing a song that talks about knowing Jesus. And there is no greater thing than knowing him. So let's stand and sing together.